Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. It's been a while since an outer space film has attracted the sort of attention that George Clooney and Sandra Bullock's new film has. You could say that it has sort of a gravitational pull. That is, of course, a not-so-great joke, because the film is called Gravity, and it's encouraging comparisons to Stanley Kubrick's classic 2001: A Space Odyssey. Film contributor Dave Lurson spoke with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about Gravity and two other films, which they hope will not be eclipsed by the blockbuster. Lurson talked about the ubiquitous comparisons to Kubrick's 1968 masterpiece.
I think it's very difficult for a filmmaker doing a premium production set in outer space to entirely evade the influence of 2001, A Space Odyssey, the great Stanley Kubrick film from the late 1960s. Especially since the director of Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón, grew up utterly enamored of the space program of that era. He had photographs of cosmonauts and astronauts in his bedroom by his own account. He was also, an avid film goer from a fairly young age. He must have seen the movie probably more than once. Comparing the two is a little bit unfair, because I don't think that Gravity is some sort of 21st century take on 2001. It has different themes going on. But the sense of vastness of infinity, the marvelous breakthrough use of technology in service to a story set in space, I would find it hard to believe that Gravity's director didn't have Kubrick a little bit in mind while making this film.
And still, it seems, I just read someone compared it. I don't remember who it was that they made the comparison, and I'm just thinking, well, there's plenty of drifting in space kind of either movies or television shows or comedies. I mean, even Red Dwarf, they're drifting in space on a mining ship. So it seems like a little narrow just to focus and compare it to one movie.
Well, it is, but I think that maybe up to this point, no one has done it better than Kubrick. There are just, of course, tons of science fiction movies. Some of them do not deal with a sense of being outside the space vessels. Many space movies are contained within the vessel, so you have that as a point of distinction. Many, science fiction films assume a distant future where all the technical problems have been solved, like all the various Star Trek and Star Wars movies. I mean, it's just, very easy, apparently, to get from one point of the galaxy to another. So you can exclude all of that, and you can exclude all kinds of very second-tier derivative films. And you have probably, and it's always risky to talk about the history of filmmaking in relation to a film that came out 2 weeks ago. I would be willing to bet a quarter, at least, because I'm not much of a betting man, that 20 years from now, historians will look back at Gravity and 2001 and speak of them in the same breath, 2001 being obviously the pathfinder, but Gravity being a very good heir to this kind of filmmaking.
And at the same time, it's technically interesting to look at, and it's set in space. It's still a human drama. I believe they're the only two, right? The only two actors in the movie.
Right. And you hear some voices, but you don't see anyone else.
So it's about their lives and their interaction and their past and maybe their future.
Yeah, a little bit about the past, enough to get a sense for the characters, I suppose. Really, the theme of this film is the indomitable possibilities of the human spirit. And here I think that the director, who also wrote the movie with his son, lays down a little thick at times that maybe a more subtle touch would have appealed to me more. But Sandra Bullock is the protagonist in this movie. She is the major star. George Clooney is a kind of, not sidekick by any means, but a kind of facilitator or inspirational figure. Without his words of wisdom, the Sandra Bullock character probably would have met a very bad end early on in this film.
Anything noteworthy as far as their acting in this movie? And you think this is an Oscar contender, yeah?
I think it's an Oscar contender. It'd be very, very difficult to imagine Sandra Bullock not being nominated for Best Actress. It'd be very hard to imagine that the nominating committees wouldn't consider Gravity for Best Picture and Cuarón for Best Director. Clooney might get Best Supporting Actor. I think under the Academy's rules, he would be considered a supporting actor in this movie. But of course, I mean, it's the leading movie right now going into Oscar season for nominations. But there are quite a few other, very fine-looking movies in the months ahead. So we'll have to wait until early next year to know for sure.
All right. Well, I want to talk about another movie, which probably won't be an Oscar contender. I don't know. Maybe you disagree with me. And that's Don John. And what's interesting is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the star, but he's also the writer and the director of it, I believe.
Yes, it's a contemporary iteration of the Don Juan story. Here, the king of one-nighters is kind of a Brooklyn boy. Some of the Brooklyn Italian stereotypes are almost squeamish to a degree. He's a porno junkie. He prefers watching hardcore porn on his laptop over actual sexual encounters, though he has those too, but they just never quite measure up to the fantasies that he enjoys while watching pornography. Really, I have a problem with this movie. It's the same old Hollywood thing that goes back to Cecil B. DeMille in the 1920s. You take a kind of moral stance against something while reveling in it for about 98% of the film. I see that old tendency at work in Don John. What I really enjoyed about this movie most, though, was Scarlett Johansson as the Brooklyn girlfriend of the Gordon-Levitt character. If anybody had any doubts about her ability and her range, I think you can put them aside. She was extremely convincing as this kind of character, much more so, I think, than Gordon-Levitt was.
Well, it's a pretty radical departure, I think, from his previous roles.
Yeah, well, he was trying something different. I mean, that's commendable. Will this be an Oscar bait kind of a movie? I have a feeling, I would guess right now, no.
All right.
I think that there are just so many other more Oscar-like movies on the way that it probably will be left out.
Still, I think it's probably the first mainstream movie to deal with porn addiction. I don't think anyone else has really touched it in this way.
Well, not in such a graphic way, certainly. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Google mainstream sex addiction movies and see if anything else comes up. I don't know. I guess you're correct. I can't think of another movie that deals with this quite so explicitly.
And so frank about
yes, it.
Yes,
it is definitely a frank film.
All right. And for another radical switch, we both saw the preview for The Patient's Stone, which is a movie, well, it's set in Afghanistan. It's kind of hard to say it's so multinational where the cast and crew and filming locations are.
Yeah, the crew was mostly French. The director, Atiq Rahimi, is an Afghan who's been living abroad in France primarily for many, many years now. The movie was filmed, I believe, primarily in Morocco, which is a good stand-in for Afghanistan. Interestingly, the name Afghanistan or any location within that country were never explicitly mentioned, but I think anyone knowing anything about Afghanistan would recognize it right away, particularly for the burqas that the women in the movie are forced to wear when going out of doors. It really couldn't be anywhere else but Afghanistan.
I didn't even think it was anywhere else when I was watching it. And at the end of the movie, I was thinking to myself, wow, someone could lose their lives over this movie because it's just so out there as far as the subject matter. If it was filmed there, it certainly would be.
Yeah, I think filming a movie of this kind in Afghanistan, probably filming anything beyond a short newscast might be dangerous work in Afghanistan right now. Too, but the film really captures the problems of that country, the ongoing decades and decades long cycle of warfare, vengeance, recrimination, the state of open conflict, armed conflict between just where does a militia become a group of bandits? Where does extreme forms of piety become hypocrisy? The movie examines so many different things very well. Wonderful cast of actors. I don't think that most people in America, I'm certainly not familiar with the backgrounds of the cast of this film. I do know that there are a lot of folkloric Afghani elements woven into the story. So it's a beautifully filmed piece of work, too. Excellent cinematography. Well worth the interest of anyone who cares about beautiful filmmaking nowadays, as opposed to simply pointing a digital camera at something and hoping for the best. And anyone concerned with the ongoing problems of that part of the world.
Yeah, when I heard the description, I thought, oh, maybe I'll be underwhelmed. And the gist is that a wife is taking care of her husband, who is basically in a coma,
right,
but in their home. There's nowhere to take him. So she reveals her secrets to him, and that's one of the folklore.
They were never able to have a meaningful conversation before. It's a trifle right. One-sided, this conversation, because he can't hear, it seems, or if he can, he's unable to respond. But she feels finally free to talk to a man that she was betrothed to, probably not entirely, you know, of her own free will. He went off to fight in some of the various wars that overtook that country. He was considered a hero, but he received a bullet in the neck over some small, petty conflict that had nothing to do with the larger problems of the country. An ironic touch, I think.
And then it's not just her telling the story, but the use of flashbacks, of course, really made it a bit more interesting and textured. More than just a storytelling.
Yeah, it's a great film. I'm not sure if it's eligible for a foreign language Oscar. It should be. It's sort of one of these multinational productions. Even Germany, I think, has mm-hmm. kicked in some money for it. So where do you place it exactly? But I would call it an Afghan movie, even though it wasn't filmed there. And even though the director, who is an Afghan, hasn't lived in the country for 30 years, apparently.
Mm. All right. Well, the other interesting thing about it that I found was that there was no mention of foreigners or troops from other countries there. This was very much about the themselves and their own militia.
Yeah. And I found that to be very, very interesting because there was no sort of, you know, blame game going on, if you will. No excuse coming from the outside for what was going on there, the problem, whatever its roots has devolved into this crisis among the people who have to live together, hopefully, in that country.
All right. Well, we talked about three movies. Maybe there's something there for everyone, maybe one. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express Weekly and writes the I Hate Hollywood blog. He spoke with Dan Harmon about Gravity, Don John, and The Patient Stone. The last of those movies opens tonight. Sports contributor Howie Magner stops by after a break to look ahead at the Bucks season on a newly designed basketball court. We will also talk Packers and the baseball pennant race. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.